And we go tonight to 2 Kings to begin this sermon. The book of 2 Kings, and we're in verse 14. A wonderful text that really blesses my soul. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. What glory. What majesty. What wonder. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 13 and verse 29. 2 Kings, chapter 13, verse 29. I'm preaching a very special message that got a hold of me this evening. The sweet Holy Spirit of God. The sweet Holy Spirit of God. Maybe I should say the gentle Holy Spirit of God. Or I could say the magnificent Holy Spirit of God. But I want to talk to you about what He wants to do in you for a few minutes tonight. Not long, I hope. 2 Kings 13:20. And Elisha died. You remember the old prophet Elisha. Not Elijah, Elisha. Followed Elijah. Elisha died. And they buried him. And the band of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. So some months later, probably, at least some time later, they had buried Elisha in a tomb. And the army of the Moabites had come against Israel. And they were passing through the area where the graveyard was. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, not Elisha now, this is another man, that behold, they spied a band of men, these are soldiers, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood upon his feet. That's one of the most magnificent scriptures in God's Holy Bible. I knew it was there, but this week I rediscovered it. And it got a hold of me. A man of God. An old prophet of God. People don't pay much to prophets of God today. They're a piece of cake to most people. They have very little respect and give very little attention. And that's okay. Too much attention will destroy a man to begin with. We must remain very careful and broken before the Lord. But this old prophet of God had been buried. And he was in his sepulchre and he was at rest. And his body had decayed and there was a big old stack of bones. A Holy Ghost bones, oh friend. That's what's so beautiful about it. And they let down the dead man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the dead man, was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood upon his feet. I've been preaching for some time now with all faith and confidence that a man or woman who is full of the Holy Ghost and the time of their death arrives, and it's time for them to go and stand before God, that those bones in that cemetery are just as full of the Holy Ghost as they were when that man or woman was living. When a person is really full of the Holy Ghost, that Spirit of God, that anointing of the Holy Ghost is still there with those bones in that cemetery. I think it's got to be one of the most wonderful truths I've discovered in some time. And it made me hungry for the sweet Spirit of God in my life. That the Holy Ghost would be more real to me than He's ever been in all my days. That's what I yearn for tonight, because of the sweet effect of the Holy Ghost upon a human life. Can you grasp before you're seated the sweet effect that is manifest upon a human life when the Holy Ghost possesses that vessel? Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, I come to you in the sweet name of Jesus. I come to you in the total faith of this truth of Scripture, this great Word of God. And I pray tonight with this atmosphere so real and so genuine and so beautiful. I pray that you'll make us hungry for the sweet anointing of the Holy Ghost as we've never known. I know I'm hungry for that, Father. I know me. I know my vessel. I know the tendencies of Joe Chambers. I know how dependent I am upon the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost every day of my life. I know that I cannot trust in myself. I must not dare. And I do not dare. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I'm preaching tonight on the sweet anointing of the Holy Ghost. The sweet anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching on what it does in your life. You see, when you speak of the anointing, you're not just talking about the Holy Spirit and how precious He is, how magnificent He is, how absolutely wonderful He is, how graceful and full of grace He is. I want you to know something. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. I don't care what people claim the Holy Ghost made them do. If it's not in the action that is gentleman-like or lady-like, it wasn't the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. And the Holy Ghost is tender. Oh, there's something about the tenderness of the Holy Ghost that really got a hold of me today. A hunger. Oh, a hunger came upon me as I prayed this afternoon that somehow I would discover the tenderness of His presence as I've never known it in my life. That somehow that tenderness might just arrest me and take hold of me and possess me. It's so beautiful. Let me read you a verse in the book of Acts that maybe will give you a little picture of this. And it's sweet to me. It's rich to me. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, chapter 4, we have a picture of a group of disciples of the Lord who had been some in prison. And others had heard the story of the prison charge and the anger that was kindled against them. And they prayed together and they cried out, God, by stretching forth thine hand, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. The Bible said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Here's the part that I really love, two verses down. And the multitude of them that believed was of one heart and of one soul. Neither said they any of them that aught of the things which they possessed that were his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And listen to this. And great grace was upon them all. Notice that last little phrase there. And great grace was upon them all. Now consider a moment what grace is. Grace is the good favor of God toward us and the good favor of God in us. Grace is God's favor poured out upon our life until the favor of God is so poured out that it reflects back out of us and reflects to others. And others see that grace of God. Now that's what I'm talking about tonight. When the Holy Ghost of God possesses a vessel, takes charge of a vessel, and comes to rule in the life of that vessel, He brings with Him a grace, a tender grace, a manifestation of God, of God's loving tenderness, God's loving presence, God's sweetness, God's mercy. The person becomes a reflection of God because of the Holy Spirit that has come upon that individual. And if there is a need in the church world today, it is the need of the grace of the Holy Ghost of God upon the people of God. A preacher called me the other day and said, we can have the greatest service on Sunday night. He said, I've got people that will shout all over the church. And on Monday morning, they are so angry and so mad and so upset that you would wonder if they was even saved. And I said, brother, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. There's something about that that we must not tolerate and we must not accept as being normal and natural, because the Holy Ghost of God is grace par excellence. Grace beyond description. Grace beyond measure. Grace that does things in you that you cannot do of your own. Grace that causes reflections of Christ to be evident out of you and from you. I'm not telling you you won't have struggles. I'm not telling you you won't get bugged about something. The Bible says be angry and sin not. But I'm telling you that when that anger comes, you'll find a place to pray. And you'll get a hold of God. And when you do, grace will come descending upon you. Hallelujah. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had a situation that was just getting out of hand and you knew it? And you knew you weren't capable to handle it. And you called on God and suddenly grace came. And you begin to reflect the sweet spirit that you should reflect, even in the midst. Oh, I've had that experience so many times. Hallelujah. And I still need it today. I need it every hour of my life. You see, this is the Christian life. The Christian life is not some kind of perfection that you never feel the same feelings that anybody with the nature of the flesh inside of them. But it's because you overcome those natures and you overcome those reflections and you rise above them and the grace of God comes upon you and the sweetness of the Holy Ghost shines through you. Everybody that wants that, slip a hand up, will you? I want that kind of grace. I want that kind of grace. I really do. Now, the desperate need of the church is for a moving of the Holy Ghost. I don't think there's anything. I mean, I go to places. I've got to go to Warrior, Alabama this week to a holiness rally at our church there. A lot of our brothers will be there, and it'll be a sweet time together. And I'm telling you, the greatest need we have is a moving of the Holy Ghost. The church world, the Pentecostal world. I remember 62 years ago, I guess you remember that too, Brother Jim, around the Pentecostal churches, it was like living love. It was like living fire. It was like Holy Ghost anointing. There was such a sweetness. I never remember any foolishness in Pentecost until some 20 or 30 years after I got saved. And I began to see things reflected in us that just didn't sound like they used to sound. They didn't look like they used to look. It was more noise than it was beauty. It was more fussy fuss than it was sweet spiritual grace. I'm telling you, we need a moving of the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I want to use as a text for a few minutes tonight in the book of John, chapter 16. And I'll begin reading with verse 7. Read it with me, please. John 16 and verse 7. Says, nevertheless, Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now notice. And when he is come. When who comes? The Holy Ghost. This is the gift. Remember, the Holy Ghost is a gift. The Holy Ghost is a gift. Did you hear me? The Holy Ghost is a gift. You don't have to beg him for the Holy Ghost. If you're begging for the Holy Ghost, that's probably why you haven't got the Holy Ghost. You believe him for the Holy Ghost. You don't beg him. He's a gift. God wants you to have it. And if you're prepared and you've been set apart and you've been cleansed and purified and sanctified, then you are ready for this wonderful baptism. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, listen to me, church. Listen to me, church. The Spirit of truth comes to manifest a grace from God that is so necessary, that you need, that you cannot overcome the devil. I hear of people who fall in their walk with Christ, who do foolish things in their effort to accomplish whatever they want to accomplish in life, and bring Mars upon their testimony. And you say, why did that happen to him? Why did that happen to her? And you can always go back, and you can always identify. They didn't walk in the power of the Spirit of God. They didn't walk in the life of the Holy Ghost. They didn't live under that sweetness of the presence of God Almighty. So number one, he said, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. You know, when you're around the Holy Ghost moving, sin is never comfortable. The churches that are full of the Holy Ghost is not comfortable to sinners. You'll see sinners come in and they look nervous and they look all out of their kilter and out of their place and just kind of, you know, just kind of weary a little bit. Why is that? Because that's how it's supposed to be. When the Holy Ghost is moving in a church, it makes sin uncomfortable. It makes sin uncomfortable. If you can be comfortable in the church when the Holy Ghost is moving, it wasn't the real Holy Ghost, I'm here to tell you, because the Holy Ghost will make sin uncomfortable. Hallelujah. And every one of us, Brother Chambers included, must walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. So if I even get close to sin, there's a feeling of discomfort in my heart. A feeling, hey, be careful there. Be careful there. You learned this. Someone said to me this morning that they were considering at some time in their life the matter of I'm sorry, not say the word out plainly. The matter of being, forgive me. Words sometimes slip from me. But they were considering a matter, and they didn't know for sure. And all of a sudden, they felt uncomfortable. I said, that's what the Holy Ghost does. That's a good sign of the Holy Ghost upon your life. When you're considering something, cremation was what they were considering. When you're considering something of that nature, you always remember, watch your spirit. Watch what you feel. If you belong to Jesus, if you belong to the Lord, you'll feel uncomfortable. I said on the radio yesterday, a person who allows themselves to get involved in questionable things, it's a pretty good sign they're not saved. Because if they were saved, they would be uncomfortable with it. How many believe that? The Holy Ghost convicts us of sin. The Holy Ghost convicts us of sin. And now listen to me. You'll never get so holy. You'll never get so pure. You'll never get so mature. You'll never get so heavenly minded that you don't need the conviction of the Holy Spirit about your life to keep you from sin. You remember that. You remember that you'll never be so godly that you don't need the Holy Ghost to keep you from wrong. I depend on it every day of my life. And believe me, he has been real to convict me of things many times in my walk with God. How many have been convicted in your life of something that just you was trying your best to do it, but you didn't feel comfortable with it? Now you learn when you don't feel that comfort, you back up. You go to the Bible and search the scripture. You go to look at what the Bible has to say. I guarantee you one thing. You don't have to know all the Bible to live a godly life when you get full of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost will start dealing with you in things you haven't even learned yet. In things you haven't even read yet. Because the Spirit of God knows every truth. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Can you imagine living in this world without the Spirit of God with you and in you and upon you and anointing you? I'm talking about the saved person. Being full of the Holy Ghost is wonderful, but you get saved. The Spirit of God's with you, and the Spirit of God is in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. And when he's upon you, sin is uncomfortable to you. And you need that. I said you need that. And you don't ever get too big for it. You don't ever get too old for it. I've seen so many good preachers get old and retire and just disintegrate. It's like everything goes wrong. You remember me telling of that great preacher over in the Concord Hospital. Man of God, I'd loved him, had confidence in him, and somebody come to me and told me that he was over there, and he said he was lost, and Jesus had left him, and he was gonna be damned in eternal hell, and he was shaken and scared to death. And I took off to the hospital. I said, I'm going to help that man. Something's not right with this. So I went to the hospital, and I went into the hospital, and there he lay, white-headed. I guess he was 75, 80 at that time. And I said, hey, my brother, this has been, 10 years ago. And I said, hey, my brother. He said, Brother Chambers, I'm sorry, but the Lord has left me. I'm not your brother. I said, what are you talking about, my brother? And I just kind of, like I didn't know anything, I pursued him. What have you done? Nothing. I would not dare sin against the Lord. And he went through a litany of his devotion to the right, and to the Bible, and to the truth of the scripture. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. I said, let me tell you something, my dear brother. The devil has been lying to you. The devil has been telling you an untruth. And I'm here to tell you by the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Ghost, that thing you've been hearing is a lie from the devil. And I'm fixing to tell that devil to leave this room and leave your mind and leave your heart. And I prayed, and the Holy Ghost came down, and the Holy Ghost refilled him, sanctified him afresh, set upon him with power. And he shouted and praised God and was happy. And went home a few days later, happy in the Lord, because God showed himself to him. I want to tell you something. The devil is a liar. Yes, did you know that? How many of you knew the devil was a liar? There's nothing he lacks better, Sister Elaine, than come along when you're doing well and things look good and just slip in on you some morning or some midday or in the middle of the night and start saying things and they sound so real, and you're shaking your boots and you wonder what's going on. You better have the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, because he'll put his finger on that devil. Oh, somebody help me praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. So, when he has come, he will reprove you of sin. Now you say, that ought to be preached to sinners. I'm telling you, that ought to be preached to saints. Because no point in your life you don't need somebody watching over you. I'm a good pastor. The best of my ability I am. I am not perfect. But I promise you, I see something wrong, I'm going to tell you. I've made some enemies like that. But I've made some good friends like that also. And I'm going to tell you, I must never allow the time in my life that I don't speak the truth to God's people and warn them when the enemy is coming against them. But the Spirit of God will do it. Hallelujah. It's so good to know the sweet Holy Ghost lives in my vessel. Hallelujah. But he doesn't just convict you of sin. This verse says he will convict you of righteousness. Did you know that the Holy Ghost knows every standard of righteousness? The Holy Ghost knows everything of this whole Bible and of human life that says pure, that says right, that says godly. He knows every bit of it. And if he's in you, he's there to teach you. He's there to open up your mind. Don't ever get so self-righteous that you don't need the Spirit of God to show you his righteousness. And I'm going to tell you, your self-righteousness don't compare with his righteousness. You may be so self-righteous that nobody could ever touch you, as Nicodemus in the Bible was. But Jesus said you must be born again. And the Holy Ghost of God will teach you righteousness. Just think a minute. Now just stop right where you are. The most beautiful thing on the face of this earth is purity. There is nothing of human life that is more beautiful than simple purity. Simple purity. There's nothing that will make your body more peaceable than purity. Do you understand that God made you to be a clean vessel? When you are not a clean vessel, you are out of harmony with the Creator of your life. There is nothing as beautiful as just plain old clean living. People sometimes get a hold of me because they say I'm overly righteous and my standard is too high and I preach too much holiness. And I say, wait a minute, man. Listen to me. There's nothing in the world as wonderful as purity. There's nothing in the world as wonderful as righteousness. There's nothing in the world as beautiful as that which is pure. Throw your hand up and say hallelujah with me, would you? It's beautiful, it's pure, and the Spirit has come to teach us righteousness. Now, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. From Joe Chambers and Brother Buck Lindsay, and the oldest among us, we've been saved over 60 years. 60 years. How many of you have been saved over 50 years? Could I see your hand? Sister Shirley, I knew your hand was going up. Saved over 50 years. How many over 40 years? Let me see your hand. How many over 30 years? All right, how many over 20 years? Now, let me tell you something. No point in your life do you fail to need the Spirit of righteousness walking with you every day. He'll not only deal with you about overt sins, he'll deal with you about, yes, inner feelings and emotions. I was thrilled today to hear the testimony of someone in this church who has changed their music habits and got rid of music out of their life that they had been listening to. I want to tell you something. You get good and saved, he'll show you when you start listening to old goofy songs of the world that teach things that you have no business hearing. I'm here to tell you, living a godly life, he will teach you righteousness. Now, we have to be careful that we don't impose always our standard on the other person before God teaches them. I want you to learn righteousness that he teaches you. I don't want a bunch of robots. I really don't. I don't want to pastor robots. I don't want to pastor people who live a certain way because they know Brother Chambers expects them to live that way. I want you to live what you live because the Holy Ghost teaches you righteousness. Oh, would you raise a hand way up high and say, Father, teach me righteousness. Teach me the pure life. Teach me the right walk with God. And see, when the Holy Ghost does it, he will do it with such purity and such gentleness and such tenderness that you'll never forget it as long as you live. Hallelujah. The reason Pentecostal people have compromised so much the last few years, it's been because we had such a multitude of people that never got it for themselves. They just got it from other people. And it never became their conviction and their desire. I'm talking tonight about the Holy Ghost teaching you righteousness and making you pure. And I'm going to tell you, when he makes you pure, you can lay down at night, lay your head on a pillow, and stretch out on that bed and feel a peace that this world knows nothing about. Hallelujah. Help me praise him for that, will you? Help me praise him for that sweet feeling, for that sweet grace, for that sweet autry shamaya rintin nosiba. Hallelujah. That sweet mercy that makes me know my heart is right with him and makes me know that he has brought me into his wonderful pathway. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Hallelujah. But then not only does the Holy Ghost teach you against sin and teach you what righteousness is, but he teaches you judgment. Now, I like this one because it really is talking about chastening, chastisement. Have you ever been whipped by the Lord? We used to call it just being whipped by the Lord. I don't hear much of that no more. I think we're living below the level where that happens very much today. Would you agree with that? We're living below the level where people talk about having been chastened of the Lord. I'm telling you, I've been chastened of God. I remember times when I didn't know anything bad I'd done, but I would come under the chastening of the Lord, and I'd be under it for days. I remember one time, 2 weeks, I didn't feel a bit of heaven. It was like heaven had moved completely out of my reach, and I was just wondering and trying to figure out what's going on, and I was hungering after him. And the Lord was actually drawing me to a new place and a new level of faith and confidence and trust in him. And I didn't even understand that. All I knew was I was under trial, and I didn't know why. But when the joy came, when the Spirit of God's grace came, when the Holy Ghost fell on me again, hallelujah, I couldn't help but shout and praise Him, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. I'll never forget Vep Ellis. You remember him? He was preaching the State Street Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. I'd been under that place for 2 weeks, and I went to hear him preach. That night he sung and then preached, and holy grace came down upon my soul. Hallelujah. I need that. I need that chastening. Are you willing to let God chasten you? All over this building, are you willing to let God chasten you? I don't remember preaching this in a long time, but if you're not willing to let God, you ought to ask God to chasten you. Oh, Brother Chamber, I dare not ask God to chasten me. It'll be one of the best things you ever done. To ask God to chasten you and bring you to a new level of surrender with Him. We live in a stinking world. We live in a world that's as full of filth as it's, I guess, possible to be. We live in a world that we are being badgered and bartered every day. We live in a world that every kind of thing imaginable is coming at us. And you need that grace of God to chasten you and to keep you pure and right with Him and on the right path of His glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Did you know that? I love that last verse. I love that last verse. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. Verse 14, He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. I close this message tonight with you grabbing this, if you can, helping me with it. And grabbing it for yourself. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to put you down. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to cut you down. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to make you feel little. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to make you feel like a nobody or a nothing. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to do any negative thing to you. I'm telling you, when you feel those kind of things, you just know right quick that's not the Holy Spirit. Because He's a gentleman, He's sweet, He's spiritual, He's graceful, He comes with mercy, He comes with love and kindness, and when He comes that you may know Jesus in a deeper way. He shall glorify me, said Jesus. The Holy Spirit takes everything that is Jesus, everything that is the grace of Jesus, everything that is the beauty of Jesus, and He wants to pour it into your life until you will know that you are like Jesus, and the grace and the beauty of His love will cover your life. Now, I want you tonight, I want you to get a hunger for the sweet anointing of Christ. I want you to get a hunger for the sweet anointing of Christ. I say this to all of you. I say it also to Sister Elaine and her wonderful family. I want all of us to have such a grace of Christ in our life that we become a light everywhere we go. When you go to the doctor's office, when you go down to shop at Walmart, when you go to your job, when you go by the bank, when you go wherever you have to go, you need to go with a sweetness of grace upon your life until people look at you and say, why do you look so different from how most people look that come in here? Have you had anybody say that to you lately? Have you had anybody to just literally, I have a friend up at one of the stores uptown that we shop at, and it's took me, 10 years to reach this man. Maybe it's over 10 years, and I've always just loved him. He was a sweetheart man. He would wait on me if he saw me come in, and he'd get away from everybody he could and wait on me, and yet he tried to tell me he didn't believe in God. He tried to tell me he didn't want to hear me preaching, and yet he would always come straight to me. And so I knew it was all a facade, you know, somebody trying to be big and tough. And you, do you ever meet anybody that tries to really be tough? And you watch out. Usually that's nothing but a facade. And so you just stand your ground and be sweet and keep on loving them. And all of a sudden, all of that started changing. I can't wait to see him walk in one of those doors and say, I took it long as I can, Brother Chambers. I'm coming. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something. The grace of Christ is wonderful. If tonight, somehow, the sweet anointing of the Holy Ghost could settle upon every one of us. Just settle. If you would like the sweet anointing of the Holy Ghost to just settle upon you like you've never known, would you stand up? Don't do it now till you feel it. Don't do it till you feel it. Think about it. I want the sweetness. I want the holy grace. I want that holy mercy. I want that anointing. Oh, rich my finger. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I want that grace to settle over me until everywhere I go. I confess to you. I hate to do this, Brother Jim, but I confess to you, I'm not there yet. I'm just not where I want to be, Brother Jim. You're not either? I'm glad you said that. Hallelujah. Oh, but I hunger. I hunger today. While I was alone in prayer, I felt that yearning to be more tender than I've ever been. Sister Chambers, you would agree, I need to be more tender, don't I? You're not even going to shake your head, yes? Yeah, thank you. I knew it. I hunger. You provide the cup. Won't you just wait on him a minute? Sweet Holy Cup. Let your Holy Ghost just settle over. Fill somebody with the Holy Ghost tonight. Somebody maybe that's never had the baptism, never spoke in tongues, as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Fill them tonight, God. If you're hungry, throw your hand up there and just hunger for it. I've got to be baptized. I've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I've got to have a baptism deeper and richer than I've ever known in my life. And somehow, I have the feeling somebody could be baptized here tonight in the Holy Ghost. Breathe upon us. Oh, hallelujah. We're just going to wait on him. Oh, sweet Spirit of God. Sweet Holy Ghost. Sweet Spirit. Holy Spirit, thou art a welcome. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in my life. You're the gift of God to me. Hallelujah. It reigns over every mortal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive him. Receive the Holy Ghost right where you stand. That's okay. Hallelujah. I'm ready. I want to be filled. I want to be filled. I know that when I'm filled day by day, and you'll read in the book of Acts, you'll find they didn't just get filled one time. They kept on coming back to get filled. There's no place where you stop being filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is like a river. He flows. He's not static. He doesn't set upon you so you can use him when he gets ready. You yield yourself to him so he can flow through you. Hallelujah. He's a river. He's a river. I said he's a river. Hallelujah. He is a river flowing from heaven down through this old sin-cursed earth to make known the glories of Christ around us and to us. Praise the Lord, mine trivia. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I'm just waiting on you tonight. Lead me. Let us be led by the Holy Ghost tonight. Let your will be done among us. Hallelujah. 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 I know we came to the altar this morning, but I really feel like we ought to come again tonight. Would you mind? We'll have some testimonies in a little bit, but would you come?